Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Hey, everyone. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that for the most up-to-date information on mortgages in the Indies real estate market, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. I'm Rick Ritma, the hardworking mortgage guy, and I've had the honor of working with over 5,200 mortgage borrowers, helping each one find their best mortgage options. As a certified mortgage planner, I know my team and I can guide you through the process and help you every step of the way.
And I'm Ian Arnold, part of Rick's hardworking mortgage team. I've worked in the financial industry for 15 years, helping people purchase what they want and working with them to build their credit and overall wealth.
On today's show, we're excited to highlight real estate guru Liz Marks Strauss with FC Tucker. Liz's spirit has helped her succeed and become one of Indy's real estate gurus. Thank you for joining us, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
We appreciate it. And I want to get started. We want to talk about your story, kind of how you got into the business. But before we do that, how would somebody contact you if they had any real estate needs?
So the easiest way to contact me would be just to call or text my cell phone number. That's area code 317-502-3358. I always have that phone with me, and that's just the best way to contact me.
All right, perfect. That's awesome. So how did you get started in real estate? Everybody's story seems to be different, and they're all fascinating to me.
So my story is a little bit funny. When we purchased our first home, well, our second home, actually, our long-term home, we worked with a realtor that I just absolutely loved. Elizabeth Raffi was with FC Tucker at the time. She has since retired. And I mentioned to her that, you know, I was really curious about the industry and I would like to consider it. And she said at that time, wait until your children are older, because your time is not your own spring and summer. So I sort of took that to heart, and I stayed home with my kids for many, many years. And one day my neighbor said, well, you've been talking about going into real estate for 15 years. When are you going to do something about that? And I went home and signed up for the class, started the class on Monday, took the state test the Saturday that the class ended, and started with FC Tucker the following Monday. So
wow,
I just needed a little kick in the pants.
So a little push.
So did your kids start aggravating you a little too much? You're like, all right, I need a break.
a little bit. I waited until my middle daughter could drive.
Okay.
Which worked out really well for me, because, you know, when you're in real estate, you can't really say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't show you that house, you know, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I have to pick up the kids.
Right.
So having Zoe sort of pick up that slack for me was an absolute blessing.
Yeah, it's amazing how we put our lives around our kids. We did it with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when does a child get a cell phone? When the parents need them to have it.
100%. Yes. Yes.
And that's kind of what you did.
Or when their dad leaves them at diving twice. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I understand that.
Exactly.
Your husband must be a lot like me. So as we look at the real estate and you've done so phenomenal. It's always amazing to talk to people who have, you got in, you've been in the business for,
I'm going on my ninth year.
Ninth year. So mm-hmm. You've been quite a while. You've seen quite a few different changes in our market.
Yes.
And you're doing phenomenal. What is it that you do that kind of separates you maybe a little bit from others, or has allowed you to be so successful?
So I've been giving that some thought since you invited me to be on the show, and I really can't point to any one particular thing. My philosophy is that I'm all about relationship building, and I try to provide people with the best possible experience. Maya Angelou taught us that people will always remember how we make them feel, So I try to make sure that I take as much stress out of the process as possible, be very compassionate to their needs, and just try to build that strong relationship for future referrals. And that seems to have been working well for me.
Do you work mostly with referrals, or how do you get your business?
So I do now work mostly with referrals. One of my managers said I have sort of a scattershot method. I use the scattershot method, and I would say that is a good description. I try everything. So I do still advertise a little bit on Zillow. That, you know, in the market that we've been having, that hasn't really been a great source of referrals. I've joined networking groups. I have tried, and I do not recommend those lead, you know, we get calls all the time from companies that want to offer lead gen and charge us for lead gen. And I've tried a couple of those and have found that those are really not, I don't recommend them. We'll put it that way. They're not very helpful. Constantly working with my sphere. But I do work, I would say, primarily at trying to increase my network by providing not only a good experience for my clients, but also I do a lot of client appreciation. I have multiple client appreciation events during the year. I send some gifts throughout the year and try to keep in touch with them as much as possible, just to again help build those relationships and stay top of mind so that they will refer me when they know somebody who has a real estate need.
And that right there explains why your business has, it's not all about getting new leads. It's about referrals. And it's that follow-up. The same thing Rick and I do is, like once a quarter, we call all of our past customers.
Wow.
So you get 4 calls in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just one of those things that even if you did a mortgage with us 5 years ago, all right, you multiply that 5 years times 4 calls, that's 20 calls you've gotten from us.
Mm-hmm.
So you just keep at that. And that's how you get the referrals. And referrals, if you're ever thinking about getting real estate or anything sales, referrals are the best source because those are happy people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Referrals are gold for us. And people must really appreciate that you call them 4 times a year because they know that you remember them,
mm-hmm.
and that you're thinking about them. And I'm sure that even if they don't have time for the call at that time, they just appreciate being remembered.
Yep. I mean, don't get me wrong. We get voicemails sometimes, but then you get that phone call. Hey, yeah, thanks for the call or something like that. And they'll probably leave a voicemail with us. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that it just happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is amazing how just keeping in touch with people, it makes everybody feel better, you know, and you're there for them. And really what, you know, you're calling, because I'm sure I think real estate agents have this even more, much more than mortgage people, is that they become your friends.
Yes, exactly. And when the transaction is done, I'm always a little bit sad. And I, you know, so I always encourage them, you know, please come to, I do a barbecue in the summer. I do a hayride in the fall. Please come to our events. I want to keep in touch. I want to see you. I want to see your kids grow up. That's, I think, the most rewarding part. I was just telling a client yesterday that one of the things I love is when I put a new, like a young couple in a house, right, and it's just the two of them. And then, you know, maybe a year or two down the line, they're coming to an event with the baby, and then I get to watch them get bigger. And that's really rewarding.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of fun. And like, I love, it's one of the reasons I do the radio show and the podcast, is because I really love the stories. You know, for me, it's all about what people's lives and their stories. I just love to hear the stories. It's one of the reasons I'll read obituaries and I'll think, man, I wish I had met that person. I wish I could met them and been able to talk to them and learn about their lives. Cause when you actually talk to people, most people's lives are fascinating. They don't think so, but their lives are fascinating. At least to me, they're fascinating.
Oh, I agree. I agree. So it sounds like you're very much a people person. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I would say for the most part, I am. You know, everybody has their downtimes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, for the most part, you are. So what does your team look like?
So I have two other agents on my team, Teresa Boer and Yvonda Wickwire. Yvonda joined last year, and we sort of, and then we have a part-time transaction coordinator, okay. Angie Fillingame, works 3 days a week and does our transaction coordinating, and she does also some of the event planning, and then I also have a stager slash event coordinator, Monica Ross, and she is unbelievable. She is the best planner. She is a jack of all trades, and she really gets it done. So she's been a godsend to, in joining the team. But our whole philosophy is we want to be the nice team. Like, literally, that's what we decided when Teresa joined me, just kind of by happenstance. A couple of years ago, we decided that was our philosophy. We want people to know that we're always going to be kind to them, and that we'll be there for them, whatever they need. And we think that's really important. So many people in this day and age feel like customer service has gone by the wayside, or everyone's in a hurry and they just don't have time to listen to them. And we think it's important to make sure that their needs, all of their needs, are met as much as we can possibly manage.
So you mentioned that you have a person who stages. How important is stage in a home?
It is essential. Homes, so the stagers, the big staging companies tell us, according to their data, that staged homes typically sell at a higher price and more quickly than homes that are unstaged. And that only 10% of the population can actually visualize what a home would look like with furnishings and decorations in it. And I am in the 90%. That is why I must have, Monica helping me out, because she has that vision. I don't. And she can take, maybe a cluttered space or an empty space and just turn it into like a beautiful, inviting, wonderful room that you want to come into and sit down and enjoy. And to me, it's just magical. And it makes the pictures better, but it also is very inviting for, potential buyers, people who are coming through. It makes all the difference in the world.
So with me having kids, and if I was looking at selling my home and I can't get everything out of there, mm-hmm. what would you recommend to one of those? I know, would she come in and show everything and tell you what to do, or how would...
She does. We come in and we do a pre-staging consultation, and she's very honest. With kids, you've got one of my big pet peeves. Not that my house is the cleanest, but you always get the fingerprints all over everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so we make it. Those have to go. and we give ideas about where to put the toys and also the decluttering. You probably have maybe all of their toys out or a large number of their toys. And we talk to clients about, how can we pare this down? What are the, say, 5 toys that are most essential? And can you rotate those? And then we recommend having a laundry basket handy. So if you do get a call for a showing, you just toss those toys in the laundry basket, put it in the back of your car, and take off. And it makes, picking up more manageable.
It's essential to do that. And as even with little kids, you still have to do, if you're going to show your house, you want it to look as good as possible.
People want to close on Monday, move in on Tuesday, and have a party on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? So they want that space to look 100% move-in ready.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're coming up on the break. So after the break, we're going to talk more to Liz, and we want to find out her superpower. But before we go on break, how would somebody get a hold of you if they have any real estate needs?
The best way really is to call or text my cell phone, which is 317-502-3358.
It's funny how text has become kind of a big thing. Call and text is everything. And to get a hold of Ian or I, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And again, after the break, we're going to find out Liz's superpower.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
All right, and welcome back from the break. And again, we are here with Liz, and she's telling us a wonderful how she got in the business, and then also how what separates her company and what she does differently from everybody else. But now we got the hardest thing that we'll have to ask her.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is sponsored by Advisors Mortgage, where we fit your mortgage to fit your needs. Contact us today to get your free mortgage plan. Okay, Liz, so the hardest question, what was your first car?
My first car was, I can't remember the year, but it was a silver Ford Fiesta with black vinyl interior and no air conditioning, and I named it Thunder Chicken.
Did you love that car?
No, I did not love that car.
You hated it.
I remember going to interviews and having to lean forward so that my shirt would not be stuck to my back when I got there. Yeah. But I appreciated having a car. It was very kind of my parents to make that car available to me. And so, yeah.
My first car is very similar. We had a Gremlin, which I think is worse, but it didn't have any air either, and it was vinyl interior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Similar.
But, yeah, they're very similar. They were both that, you know, that same level of car.
But, yes.
But they got you around.
And yeah.
I just loved to get around. I mean, it didn't matter. I was a bicycle rider until I learned to drive, and as soon as I drive, I was done.
Same. I remember riding my bike. We lived out in the country, outside of town. I remember riding my bike to swim practice, thinking that it would be wonderful when I was able to drive. Yeah.
And it was.
Yes.
It definitely was. So, what is your superpower? And when I'll clarify the question. My wife likes to say, you know, oh, she's famous for this. And it's usually cooking or something. So she'll say, oh, she's famous for her cherry pie. I want her to bring her cherry pie because she's famous for it, or her salad because she's famous for it. Meaning that that's what everybody in the family and everybody that knows them, that's what they know they do well. That's what we're looking for. Superpowers as it relates to real estate.
So I don't know if that it relates specifically to real estate, but I would have to say that the thing I do best and that I make the most use of is my ability to listen. I think that listening is, and I've had to learn this over the years, but listening is essential, because if you really listen to someone, you can find out what their needs are, what their priorities are, and then you can help meet those needs. I am a born matchmaker. I have one relationship success. So I had to find another. I had my brother and sister-in-law. Yeah, I introduced them 30 years ago.
Wow.
So I've had to find another outlet for my matchmaking needs. And real estate has really filled that desire for me. And by really listening to people, I can help match what they want and what they need with what we have available and try to bring them together. But if you don't listen, if you're going on your own assumptions, you just can't make anybody happy.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to learn to do, because the longer you're in a business, the more consistency you see, and you start thinking that's what everybody wants.
Right.
And then if you're not listening, you're trying to do the wrong thing. And I guess to the point, I sold new homes for a builder for 11 years. And I remember I had a real estate agent come in with their client, and they're looking at the lots that were available, and they go, oh, this is a corner lot. You don't want a corner lot. Nobody wants a corner lot. You don't ever buy a corner lot. I'm not kidding. 2 hours later, another real estate agent comes in with their client. They look at all the lots and they go, oh, a corner lot. That's the best lot in the neighborhood. And it's all their own perspective.
Right.
And for some people, I had a lady who bought a corner lot because she was single and she wanted visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And a corner lot was she had that, and it was three sides of roads on her, but that's what she wanted, to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Other people who maybe had kids, they had no desire, but some don't care. I mean, it's just, and that's what you have to listen to. What is it you're really after?
Right.
So I can help you, not my own prejudice of what I think everybody needs.
Right. Right. It's too easy to fall back on our own assumptions.
Yes.
And we really have to dig in. And sometimes it takes people a little while to even figure out what they really need. That's where their stories, you know, come in handy.
Yes.
So if you can really get people to open up and talk to you about their lifestyle, about their families, how they socialize, and really listen to their stories, you can help them figure out what's going to work best for them in the long run.
Yeah.
Yep. I actually had that happen to me when I bought, when we were looking at houses. We ended up buying it anyways, but there's a graveyard across the street. Mm-hmm. Now, there is probably about 10 foot of woods. Well, when you looked at it during the wintertime, guess what? You could see it. But during mm-hmm. the summertime, you can't see it. But to me, my wife, we couldn't care. I mean, we joke with the kids and we're like, hey, look, you, too bad. We're just going to take you right over there. But, I mean, it's one of those things that some people would be, hey, yeah, I can't be that close. But, I mean, to us, we were like, look, we're looking for a bigger yard. We're looking. So that was, who cares? Our priorities were something else.
Right. And it didn't matter to you, but like you said, it may matter quite a bit to the next person.
Correct.
And sometimes I had a similar experience, and we were looking, it was new construction, and it happened to have a little cemetery right in the center of the neighborhood. And my client didn't say anything, but I was watching her face. And she noticed it, and I could. She just looked alarmed, and I thought, "Well, we won't be buying in this neighborhood, right?" Because also paying attention to the way that people react to their energy, it can tell you so much about the experience that they're having right then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find for me that I listen to what people say, but mm-hmm. And I'm sure you probably do the same thing, but I also listen to what they aren't saying.
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes that tells you more than what they actually say.
Yes.
And then also how they say it, because they could say something that you realize that's not really what they think, you know,
right.
So you have to dig in. So mm-hmm. you do the same thing?
Absolutely. And that's when you have to start asking those more open-ended questions.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And make people feel comfortable. So sometimes people don't want to put all their cards out there. You have to make sure that they feel that you're creating a safe space for them to tell you exactly what they're really thinking. Yeah. And to be honest.
And isn't it most times buying a home is exciting, but even when it's exciting, there's still a lot of stress.
Absolutely.
And there's still a lot that a real estate agent has to pay attention to and stay on top of to help this person through the process and to guide them so that they end up with the correct house, you know, at the correct price and all the things, you know, better than I do, all the things you have to make sure of. Isn't that a huge part of what you do? And I can tell by how you are, you're very, you know, obviously being kind and considerate and listening is something that is extremely important to you. And quite honestly, there's not a ton of people who do that.
Well, I realize that. You know, we all have these, we all buy things, right? So whether it's a car, a house, or a shirt, right? We don't want to be sold something. So that's why we really focus, our team really focuses on trying to make sure that all of their needs are met. So that's, as you were saying, helping them through the inspection process, that's tremendously stressful. You know, last year and the year before, some people were purchasing homes without inspections. Well, that's going to come back and be it was. I just had a transaction that closed last week where that was then a challenge. That person had to turn around and sell the house right away. He hadn't had an inspection. There were quite a few issues with the house. There was a lot of negotiation and placating that really had to happen for both sides to be comfortable and move forward with that purchase. Yes, you have to help try to make it a fun event, recognize that it is stressful, and try to remove the stress wherever possible. And the other thing is, it's essential to try to keep emotions in check. People get excited both positively and negatively, and it's really our job to help keep those emotions in check, because otherwise thinking can get really carried away.
I actually think that's one of the most important pieces that a real estate agent does, because it's such a personal transaction to the buyer or the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that realtor there that can stand back and actually, without the emotion, guide you through it. Because let's face it, when you get emotional, you make bad decisions sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and you need somebody to guide you through that, who knows what they're doing, who's been there before, and can it really break it down so you go, okay, take the emotion out of it. It's like when my father passed away, people were pushing my mother to sell her house. I said, no, she's not going to sell her house right now. She is not making a decision during this time.
That was great advice.
And we didn't. 3 years later, she did make the decision. But you don't do it during that time.
No, I've heard that you shouldn't make any decision for a year, decision for a year after a major life event like that.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things that's really important. And I think it's important when you have somebody like you as the real estate person that's working with you and guiding you, you're there and you're going to make sure they have all the information. I believe that my job is to lay the information out. My job is not to make the decision for somebody. My job is to educate them, lay it out so they can make the right decision for them.
A well-educated decision.
Yes.
Yes.
And you do the same thing?
Absolutely.
I just think it's critical because it's up to them, not me. And I can listen, I can talk, I can ask tons of questions, but it doesn't mean I know everything that's going on in their life like they do.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Ritma and Ian Arnold. To hear the conclusion of this interview, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com and hit the podcast tab.